further ado, Pastor Brian Schumacher. Oh, the youth there, yes, they're gone. Yep.
Steve, you going to get up and sing? You want to sing a solo? No? All right. Well, hey, guys. How's it going? Hold on a second here. I got this newfangled. No. Might as well give them to me. How's everybody doing? Shout yes or something. Yeah, yeah. God's good. God's good. Hard to be a bad preacher when everybody's shouting like that. I was thinking of that song when we were singing that song, You Are Holy. Wow, I'll tell you what, church, God is incredible. He is an awesome God. There's nobody like him to stand up and to testify and to give him praise for what he's done. He is worthy of all of our praise. There's nobody like the Lord. Nobody. You know, I was listening to Harley share, and I've heard a few other things about his life and how he got saved and what God's done. And I'm sure everybody here has an awesome testimony. Back in 1981, I was working on the railroad. I was a track laborer, Gandhi dancer. And I was sitting in that grubby old shack. There's pornography all over the walls. And who could ever think that Jesus could save somebody in that? But he reached down. I had a 10-minute conversation with a man. He reached down and touched my soul. I went home and I began to read a Bible. And I began to call on the name of Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. And I have been changed by the power of God. I've been changed. And, you know, it was months later. I know I've shared this before, but my wife thought this guy has just flipped a nut. He's gone from booze to drugs to the Lord. And she was thinking, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave. But you know, God did not put a worry in my heart. He gave me peace through that whole time. And, you know, I had to look my wife in the eyes one day because she was getting mad because I was sharing the gospel with all the guys that I drugged and drank with. And I can't remember what the conversation was, Lisa, but I looked at her and I says, you know, I love God a whole lot more than I could ever love you. I wouldn't try that if I were you, but I got by with it. I got by with it. But, you know, 6 months later, my wife gave her life to Christ. Jesus saves, amen? Jesus absolutely saves. And I'll tell you what, not only that, but she was in our bedroom. I was sleeping. And she was calling out to God and saying, God, if you're real, if what Brian has is real, if you're really there, I need to know. And don't you know that Jesus had the gall, the audacity to show up in our bedroom? He appeared in his brightness and his glory, just like we sang about in that song, You Are Holy, Lord of All. And she flew back on the bed. I don't know what happened after that, but when I awoke, I had a different wife. God loves you. He loves us. I want to read some verses here tonight out of Romans chapter 10, if the Rock can put it up there. Let's give Rocky a big hand, can we? Yeah. I'm trying to keep calling him the Rock, because he's not Rocky, he's the Rock, man. He's rock solid. So listen to this. This is Paul's writing to the church here at Rome, and he's saying, hey, here's what's going on with Israel, and there's a hardening that's happening to them right now. He says, but God is doing something, but he says something here about missing God, about missing the whole point of church. About missing the whole point of reading your Bible and of singing. And man, You guys sang beautiful tonight, all of you. It was awesome. It's so exciting. God is so worth our praise. But he says this here. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many here tonight, you got saved? I'm so glad I did. If you're not saved tonight, don't leave here unsaved. Leave here. Give your life to Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess him with your mouth, and you will be saved. You will be. Amen? Okay, for with the heart, everybody say with the heart, he confesses. Resulting in salvation. So let me put it to you this way. If you have a believing heart, you're thinking right. You're in a right state of mind. If you're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, you're speaking right. That's true, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, excuse me, whoever believes in him will not... Okay, there we go. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Okay, so he believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I'll try to be brief. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about calling on the Lord. Calling on the Lord. Because everything in here, Paul says, is carries right through our life. Believing in our heart is not something that's a one-time thing. Amen. It's not a one-time thing. Confessing Christ is not a one-time thing. We confess him every day. We confess his promises every day in our life, or we should be confessing his promises. What we say is very important in life, and what we believe is very important. What you believe about yourself as a believer is very, very important. And I want to just preface this. God is not some sugar daddy in heaven waiting to fulfill your wishes and your desires. Okay, so don't get me wrong, because I know some of you are looking at me like, oh boy, here he goes, the blab it and grab it stuff. No, this is the real deal. This is the real deal. There's no other way. You cannot live any other way in the kingdom of heaven but by faith. It's called believing in your heart. A lot of times our lips are moving, but we're not believing. That's okay, but we can get there, right? We can get to believing. But believing is essential. It's so essential to our life. Okay, so I want to just put verse 12 back up there again for me. Could you rock? I'm practicing rock. Okay. So he says, for there's no distinction. So what I'm going to share tonight doesn't make any difference if you're a preacher or if you've never been to school, if you're in Teen Challenge or you're not in Teen Challenge, makes no difference tonight. God has no distinction at all. He is not a distinguisher person. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you've been to college or you have not been to college. God is interested in your heart. He doesn't care what your status is. He doesn't care if you have riches or you have nothing. It makes no difference to him, because in him, everyone is rich. Everyone. But God abounds in riches to all who call upon him. Do you know the scripture says in the book of Proverbs? I'm not going to turn there right now. But it says that there is an abundance of riches, if you will. There's an abundant crop in the fallow ground of the poor. But it's swept away by injustice. And many times in our life, we have a fallow ground that's sitting there. It's untilled. It's unworked. It's undone. But there are riches in there that we have not discovered. And when we begin to call on the name of the Lord in our lives as believers, we will begin to see riches come to us. I'm not talking about physical riches. If those come, then so be it, Dion. Right? If they don't come, so be it. But the real riches are the things that we cannot see. It's the answers to prayer when we call out to God for someone else's soul, for the things that we're going through in our life that make us rich in Him. We're already rich in Him because of what He's done for us. If all we ever did was get saved, that's awesome. That's incredible. That's enough to praise Him for eternity. But God says, while we are here, He has untold riches. He is abundant in riches. Ephesians 3:20, if you want to put it up there, it says, now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly. Can you say that, abundantly?
Abundantly.
Far more abundantly, Jerry. Far more abundantly than we could ask or we could think. Wow. Wow, church. Think about it. Think about it. You have a bank account. It's just sitting there collecting dust. You have untold riches in there. God is abundant. God has no limits. Do you think we could bankrupt God by asking Him for anything? Not true. He can do anything. He will do anything. I know I shared that story the last time I preached, but the story about the preacher out in California was driving around. True story. He had some time before he had to speak that morning, and he went out for a ride, and he ran out of gas on the freeway. And he's out there. He's panicked. He gets down on his knees by the side of his car, between the car and the medium. He gets down on his knees. He begins to pray. And he cried, oh, God, if You could just give me 1 gallon of gas so I can get to church to preach on time. And while he's praying, he hears the truck brakes screeching on this huge semi. This guy gets out of the truck, and he says, hey, Mac, you got a problem? He says, I need gas. He says, stand back. He pulled out the nollie. He says, I got 10,000 gallons. And that's the way we live sometimes. God says, I have an abundance. I have more than enough for you. And He says, come to Me, call. He tells, I'm kind of going to take a few of these out of order, Rocky, but that's okay. Rock. He told Jeremiah, He says, call to Me. A lot of times we're busy calling other things. But He says, call to Me, and I will answer you. And I will show you the great and mighty things that you don't know. But think of the promise. Church, think for a minute. You guys ought to be shouting hallelujah, Steve.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, call to Me. I will answer you. Me, Almighty God, holy, awesome God, God of abundance, God of more than enough. I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. Wow. Woo! That's powerful. That is powerful. It's powerful. God knows your future. He knows all about your past. He's not interested. But He knows your future. And if you call to Him, He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you things. He'll show you things to come. That's the promise of God that the Holy Spirit would do in our lives as believers. But a lot of these things don't come from us merely sitting and just being passive. And we got to ask ourselves, what am I doing when nobody else is around? Now, tonight's fun. Everybody smile. Tonight's fun. But what are we going to do when nobody else is around, when we're not here? We call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Amen. Amen. So there's a couple of things here that I've already touched on. But I want to talk with you just a little bit here about, oh, man, is this thing fast. Woo! Holy smokes. Remind me never to try this if I don't know what I'm doing, because this is crazy. Oh, hold on. Wow. Okay, anyway. I want to talk to you about believing in your heart. Believing in your heart. Put that first scripture up there, would you, Rock? No, not that one. The first one after Romans 10. Maybe I need to get my Bible out here. No, not that one. That's a good one, too. Yeah, no. Okay, I'll just go off this. No, that's okay. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So it says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, Paul said this, he says, he quoted the Old Testament, he says, I believed. Can you say that with me? Therefore I spoke. I believe, therefore I spoke. So it's important what we believe. Believing is everything in the kingdom of heaven. Mark 11:22, Jesus says to the disciples, when they marvel, he curses the fig tree. How many got a rubber fig tree at home you practice cursing? Anybody? No? Okay. All right, I cursed a fig tree once. I cursed a tree once just to try it out, and guess what? It worked. For sure. I'm just saying. Poor tree, it didn't do a thing wrong. But Jesus answered them when they marveled that this fig tree had withered, and he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I want to encourage you tonight. Have faith in God. Church, say amen. Have faith in God. Jesus said, truly, truly, and this isn't me. This is Jesus saying this now, and I'm not making this up, so you can balk if you want to, but here's what Jesus said. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, we sang about that tonight, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Maybe we should try out a few mountains once in a while. Amen? Yeah? I've faced some mountains, and I'm sure I'll face some more. I'm facing some right now. But we need to learn to speak to the mountain, and we need to have faith for sure. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted. And so what we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, I'm driving a point across that we all know we need faith, but we've got to ask ourselves the question, what do we do about that? So in chapter 10 of Romans that we just read, it says, faith comes by, say it out loud, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. So that's the answer to our dilemma of a lack of faith. It's hearing the word of God. It's hearing it. Yeah, there's more to, we'll get into that in a minute, but Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man. How many know that psalm? How many can quote it? How blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in? It's the word of God. And in it he does what? When? Day and night. So what should we be doing with our spare time that we're not doing? Meditating on the word of God. Not just reading it, but meditating, thinking on it, thinking on it. That's why I got so many scripture verses tonight, because I've been meditating on the word. Whether you like it or not, I've been meditating on it. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you and me have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So where, what are we to be seeking every day? things above, where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not the things that are on the oh me. Oh me. Oh, the time that we spend doing and seeking and setting our mind on other things. I mean, I love to play with my phone. Come on. Come on, people. If I can get behind a big computer, boy, that's like driving a Cadillac. And I will waste hours doing that. I'm not talking about being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But you know, Smith Wigglesworth, how many have ever heard of him? Few of us. Smith Wigglesworth was one of these guys, and I'm not advocating it, I'm just saying he was one of these guys. Lester Sumrall, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Man of faith, he came, he wanted to meet Smith Wigglesworth, he came to England, and so he got all dressed up in a big English suit. He put on that, he had the hat and the cane, and he had a newspaper shoved up on one arm, and he knocked on his door, and he came out, and he introduced himself. He says, okay, you can come in. But he says, that stays outside. He's pointed to his newspaper. He was a man of one book, one book alone. Now, if you're reading in a newspaper or whatever the news, you're not sinning. So, okay, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that's who he was. That's how he serious he took it. And his life bore the fruit of that. His life truly bore the fruit of that. All right, so Proverbs 4:23 says this. Watch over your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. So what we let in here, into here, and it goes down into here, affects us. Proverbs 23:7, we know these scripture verses. As a man thinks in his heart, so he, that's who he is. As you think in your heart, so what you're pouring into your mind, what you're pouring into your heart, that's who you become. Jesus said these words. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? So what is poured in here comes out. When we get in these situations that are hard and difficult that we sang about tonight, and it's so fun to do. It's fun to get in a worship service, isn't it? And just praise the Lord and just say, where's the devil? I'll blacken both his eyes. I'll knock his teeth out. But boy, when you get out there and your rubber on your tires is meeting the road of life, we got to sing the same story. Whew. Everybody knows this one, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll just read the last part. He says, do not be conformed to this world. All of that stuff that we're hearing on the media, on the internet, it's all the world, and the devil's got his tentacles in everything. I mean, all of it. He's got it everywhere. And you really got to have the heart of Jesus to discern what's good and what's not. Amen? I mean, you really got to. You get caught up. If I watch Fox News too long, I'm an ordinary man. I get really, really mad. I don't want to go there. But be transformed. Let your mind be transformed. Renew it. Fill it with the word of Christ. Fill it with, what does God say about my life? What does God say about 2023 in July in Duluth and Superior? I had to get Superior in there, Dion. the forgotten city. But what is God saying about our life? What is he saying about us right now? What's he saying about the nasty situation I'm living in, the addiction that I have, the thing that I'm doing that nobody else knows about? What's he saying about that? What is he saying when I go to work and all the other guys and ladies or whatever are all grumbling and mumbling and backbiting and murmuring? What is he saying to me? How should I get involved in that? Or should I stand aloof and get away from that? Those are the hard questions. But if we're filled with the Word of God, if we fill our mind, church, shout amen.
Amen.
Okay, so number two, and then I'll be done. Maybe. Confessing with our mouth. I know this stuff you hear about confession and believing way back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. But confessing with our mouth, what you say, what I say, what we say is important. How we react in situations, even when we pray a prayer and we turn around and we begin to say just the opposite of what we just prayed. You can create the scenario yourself. But we do that. I do that. It's not a good thing. So we need to be careful what we say. So we got to have a believing heart. And then we begin to say. You know, my prayer life used to sound like this. Gimme, gimme, me, me, I, my. Gimme, me, my, I, my. Gimme, gimme, me, me, my, I, my. Gimme, gimme, me, me. You know, and then the Lord goes, hey, hey. Some of these guys, they wouldn't even breathe a request before the Lord. Some of these old guys, until they had sat before the Lord and they heard his voice. And then they begin to ask. And when they ask, everything they asked for just happened. Just turned to gold. Because they're here in the heart of God. They're filled with the Word of Christ. They have a believing heart. Okay. So to confess, it's a Greek word. I know this is old school, but it's the word homologio, whatever it is. It means this, the word confess here, because he says, if you confess with your mouth, and you believe. It means to agree with. That's the Greek word. It means to agree with what's said or what someone's doing. We need, church, we need to come into agreement with God. When we come into agreement with God in prayer, you can't lose. There's no way that that prayer can't get answered. Thank you. Do you know why? Because Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, have the faith of God. God never doubts when he says, when he created the world, he didn't go, whoops. No, he created it. It was good. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us, and we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. Wow. You know, he talks about in Romans 10, you don't have to go over there, but in Romans 10, he talks about, he says, for with the mouth we confess, resulting. With the heart we believe, resulting. We want results in our Christian life. We want to see something happen. God does not want us to live a life of just mush and just kind of going along and just bumping cars and, you know, just kind of going with whatever flows. And no! God wants to bless us. Amen?
Amen.
So it's important what we say. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I want you to put up James chapter 3 on there, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read all of it, but let not many become teachers, my brothers, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Oh, God, help us. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body as well. If we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships, how great they are. They're driven by strong winds, still directed by a very small rudder. A very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also the tongue. Let's give God our tongues. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Let's give God our tongues. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest. Woo! See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire. Don't get me started. A very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that that defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. I almost said God hates, and I will say God, but God hates gossip. He hates it. He doesn't hate the person, but he hates gossip. Ooh. Some Christians, our tongue is all over the place. Smile at me. I mean, we got a long tongue. We can sit at the kitchen table and lick the frying pan on the stove. We just got it all over everybody, and everybody else's doo-doo stinks except for ours. But the tongue... As a pastor, you get some really good firsthand experience at this stuff. It's really special. Man, oh man, I'll tell you what. Wrong finger. Okay. So let me just say this. We need to be careful what we say. I know I've shared this a long time ago, but when God gave me a promise about my family, he asked me, he said, Brian, I want you to believe me right now for your whole family to be saved, every one of them. Not knowing that I was going to have 8 children. I had no idea. I had no idea I was going to have 24 grandkids. But I did. But listen, but tell me, God doesn't know the future. So what is God saying about our future? What we confess is very important. I'll say that just that one last time. Psalm 91:2, David said this. How many know what Psalm 91 says? Well, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. Fortress, my God, and you want to read the rest of it. It's so good. My wife and I read it together every night and prayed it over our children, our family during the COVID deal. It's important what we say. Don't kid yourself. Don't walk away from here and say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. Try and see. Try it and see. I'm not trying to deny our problem. We have problems. We got issues. There's stuff that we're going through. It's real. But what we say about it with God, when we come into agreement with God, we come through okay. Yeah. God told Joshua, as the new leader of Israel, when Moses died, he took Joshua aside and he says, Joshua, he says, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth. But he says, you will be careful to meditate on it and do all that is in it. Did you know, for some of you Bible thumpers, that every king of Israel, it was required, the command of God was, they were to sit down and they were to make a copy of the Torah, of the law, of the word of God. And they were to keep it by their side at all times as king. How much more should we? To meditate on it, to think on it day and night. I'm almost done. When God commanded Joshua to go out and fight the Amorites, he said, go out there, fight them. I've given them into your hand and destroy them completely. Joshua got out there and God was with them and they were destroying the enemy. But guess what? The day was running late. The job wasn't done. Joshua, standing on what God had told him, stood and he speaked in the presence of all the nation of Israel. And he said, oh, sun, stand still. And moon, over the valley of Ajalon. You got that next verse? Okay. All right, sorry about that. And guess what? It says the sun stood still. Do you think God has power? Just saying. Try it sometime. God will never laugh at you for trying. Never. If we don't dare to try and try, we miss everything. Until the nation has avenged themselves of their enemies, is it not written in the book of Jasher, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for a whole day? They thought they were living in Alaska. Boy, God is good. He really is. He's amazing. He's an amazing God. I got one last thing here. And so the question comes, will we reignite the flame in our life to call on the Lord? Knowing that he says, hey, if you believe and you speak it, it can be done. Will you call on the Lord tonight? Will you make a fresh stand? Will I make a fresh stand? Will I call upon the Lord? Will I make a fresh stand to meditate on the Word of God? To fill my heart and my mind with it and begin to speak it in life. I shared a story a while back here. I know it's an old one, but I don't have anything else. When I had a camper and I neglected it and it got a lot of water in it and it ruined the camper. And I called my insurance company. Well, I didn't call my insurance company. I just standing out there. Oh, yeah, I did too call. I called them and I said, da da da. And they said, well, you know what? That's a maintenance issue. That's your problem. When I got off the phone, I stood there and I looked at that camper. And I looked up to heaven. I said, God, you are going to have to deal with this. It's bigger than I am. Don't you know? I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about Jesus. Don't you know that they paid it? Abraham was a man like you and me. He called on the name of the Lord. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. He called on the name of the Lord. A God he'd never seen. He never even knew what salvation was. Didn't have a clue. Didn't know anything about the blood of Jesus. He called on the Lord and God did the miraculous for him. He stood on God's promises. Daniel was a man. Over and over and over again, when you read, he called and God answered mighty things, amazing things. Daniel didn't understand the word of God. He didn't understand what the end was. He called out. Did you know you can ask God and he'll reveal the word to you? True story. King Manasseh. He sinned against God, had shed so much innocent blood in Jerusalem. Babylon came and conquered him, put a hook in his nose and put him in chains and drug him off to Babylon. And there he is in a prison rotting. And there he remembers God's word. He remembers that if you turn to me and repent, and if you call out to me and pray towards this place in Jerusalem, I will hear and I will answer you. He called out to God. And can you believe it that the king of Babylon called him out of prison and released him and set him back on his throne in Jerusalem? Unheard of. And yet God did. God will carry us through the most dire straits, the most difficult situations. Stand up with me, would you please? So how many of us tonight, you'd say, yeah, I'm going to call. I'm going to call, and I'm going to ask big, and I'm going to ask deep. I'm going to ask God to do great and mighty things in my life. Because he is, I tell you, church, he is the God that he said he is. He is the God to you that he promised he would be to you, that he would never leave you, that he would never forsake you. Then when Jesus said, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. Oh, he says, knock, and it will be open to you. That's his promise to all of us. I'm sure there's families in this place that need to be put back together. I'm sure of it. I'm sure we have loved ones that are away from the Lord that need to know God. That's my favorite place. Oh, it's my favorite place. Praying for my kids, speaking the word of God over them. I'm sure some of us are looking at all kinds of situations that are so difficult, but is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Nothing. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray, church. But as we do, I want you to make a fresh commitment. God is waiting. He's waiting. And when I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Let's do it. Lord, we thank you that you said to call and that you would answer. Answer us now. Hear the cry of our heart, God. Take away the passivity of my heart. I choose to look towards you and fill my mind with the things of heaven. Teach me to call. Help me to pray. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. God bless you. Love you guys. Love you all. Thank you. Thank you for the honor of preaching here tonight.